So I'm Ethan Jackson, and this is work. I'm at Berkeley now, but this is work I was doing while at VMware working on Open vSwitch. Before I get into the background, the high-level goal of this work is to integrate middlebox functionality, basic middlebox functionality, into Open vSwitch while maintaining the programmability that OpenFlow gives you and has made software-defined networks so successful, and good performance. So first, some background. Open vSwitch is an open source software switch. I consider it the dominant software OpenFlow implementation. It's widely deployed. It has two primary use cases. The first use case, which is probably a little better known, is as what's called a hypervisor vSwitch, so interconnecting virtual machines within a hypervisor. The second use case, which is the main target of this talk, is a network virtualization gateway. So if you imagine you have an SDN that is an overlay of tunnels and a legacy physical infrastructure, you need a system to mediate between these two domains. And we had sort of a wide deployment of Open vSwitch servers playing this role for us. So this is an important use case for us. So to implement it, we used, obviously, the tools that Open vSwitch provides, which is OpenFlow. So Open vSwitch is an OpenFlow implementation. So that's how we implemented our SDN gateways. And OpenFlow is actually pretty good for implementing this functionality. It's really good at expressing classical networking L2, L3 services. And it does this by modeling the network as a series of packet classifications, each associated with an action that you're going to take with that packet. And for software switching, this model has a property that's really useful in that we can take advantage of a technique called flow caching. So at VMware, our OpenFlow deployments would typically have 20 to 30 packet classifications per packet. And with flow caching, you can compress these into a single classification in the data path and provide really extreme performance benefits. So I love OpenFlow, but it's not perfect. Specifically, OpenFlow is not particularly well-suited to stateful processing. If the behavior for a given packet depends on previous packets that have been through the system, OpenFlow is weak. Second, OpenFlow doesn't provide you primitives for inspecting packet payloads, so you can't really do deep packet inspection. And really, since OpenFlow is based on classifying packet headers, anything that requires looking at state other than what's in the packet header, OpenFlow is not particularly well-suited for. And the problem is there's a wide class of network functions that have precisely these properties, specifically middleboxes. So this left us at VMware with a rather pernicious multi-year problem. We have this wide deployment of OVS SDN gateways. These gateways are in the perfect spot on the network to implement certain middlebox services, firewalls, NATs, load balancers, right? So customers really want them to implement middleboxes, but OpenFlow is terrible for doing that. And before I get into our solution, a quick digression. You might be thinking, at this point, you want a high-performance software middlebox implementation. Why don't you just use network function virtualization? And this is actually a reasonable approach. So for those of you who don't know what NFV is, the basic idea is you implement middleboxes as virtual machines interconnected in a hypervisor virtual switch. And it's highly expressive. You can do whatever you want within the virtual machines. And it provides strong isolation between middlebox implementations, which if you're like a telco and you've got different vendors providing you implementations, this is really important. We ultimately don't think this is a good approach for the particular use case we have because of this isolation. Because of the isolation, these VMs are complete black boxes. The system as a whole doesn't have any visibility into what they're doing. And as a result, you can't do system-wide flow caching. You can't do system-wide optimizations. Second, the isolation provides significant overhead. So crossing virtual machine boundaries, crossing CPU core boundaries, is expensive if you're doing it on a per packet basis. And then this point is somewhat subtle, but in my opinion, the reason SDN was so successful was OpenFlow provides this really general abstract programming interface. And in NFV, you lose all of that behind these black box virtual machines. The controller doesn't have any insight into what's happening in the switch. So instead of this, I proposed Softflow, which is an experimental modification to OpenVSwitch that we developed at VMware. And the basic principle of Softflow is we're going to start from a foundation of OpenVSwitch, and any forwarding functionality that we can express in OpenFlow, we will. And for those little pieces of middle boxes that require state or deep packet inspection that can't be expressed easily in OpenFlow, we're going to augment the switch with what we call Softflow actions. So these are just functions of arbitrary x86 code that live in the OpenVSwitch data path that are callable, that are accessible from OpenFlow. So to make it a little more concrete, an example you might imagine is a firewall. A stateful firewall has two core components. It has an access control list, which allows you to say, allow or deny packets with this particular header. And it has a connection tracker, which allows you to say, allow packets that belong to established connections. The access control list is just a packet classification. We'll implement that in OpenFlow. The connection tracker requires remembering the connections that are flowing through the system that can't be implemented in OpenFlow, so we do it as a Softflow action. So the best way to understand what we're doing in Softflow is to actually do some packet walkthroughs. So first I'm going to show how OpenVSwitch forwards packets as a base case, and then we'll augment it with Softflow to see how it differs. So in OpenVSwitch, it receives a packet. The packet's passed to the flow cache. The flow cache, if there's no entries in it, passes it to the slow path where the open flow tables reside. After that, processing's finished, the packet goes back up to a flow cache. A flow cache entry is installed, which is a summary of all the behavior that happened to that packet in the slow path, and the packet's forwarded. And this flow cache entry is really important because future packets can skip traversing the slow path and just do a single lookup at the data path. So in Softflow, we're going to augment OpenVSwitch with a plugin library of x86 functions that reside entirely in the data path. And then we're going to augment OpenFlow to allow it to request that a particular packet be processed on by these functions. Okay. So this changes the forwarding behavior pretty dramatically. So a packet enters the switch. Just like before, there's no flow cache entry, so we go back up to the slow path. And when we hit the first OpenFlow table that needs Softflow action processing, since the Softflow action lives in the data path, we can't process it in the slow path, so we just punt it back up to the data path. Install a flow cache entry just like before, execute the Softflow action, which is going to do our connection tracking for us, and then we continue this process. And we continue it for every Softflow action that the OpenFlow tables request until we finally forward the packet. And what's nice about this is we're still getting flow caching. So future packets can use the flow cache to figure out what OpenFlow actions they need to do and what Softflow action processing they need to do without traversing the slow path. But it's expensive. We're doing three packet classifications in the data path. While in the standard OpenVSwitch case, we only had to do one. So at this point, we've implemented middle boxes in OpenVSwitch, but we've got these extra packet classifications, and we'd like to reduce them because they're expensive. And the reason we need these extra classifications in the data path is that middle box processing from OpenFlow's perspective is non-deterministic. So a middle box is going to make seemingly arbitrary modifications to the packet headers, and just to be safe, we have to traverse the entire OpenFlow table every time we receive a packet from one of these middle boxes so we don't end up caching the wrong decision for a given packet. So to reduce some of this cost, we implement an algorithm in the paper called classification coalescing. This is a fairly large chunk of the paper, a fairly complicated algorithm. There's a lot of magic here. I'm just going to try and motivate it for this talk. But I'll refer you to the paper if you want details. So the basic idea of classification coalescing is a lot of middle boxes are sort of mostly deterministic. They usually do the same thing to every packet flowing through the system. So if you imagine a firewall is a perfect example of this. Firewalls allow almost every packet they see, right? If they're denying a packet, it's because something weird's going on. So it's very rare. Furthermore, the softflow actions usually know whether their behavior is the common case or an unusual case. And they can tell us which case it is by writing some metadata in the packet header. So in classification coalescing, all we do is we skip the redundant packet classifications in the cases where the softflow action indicates to us that it's taking its common deterministic behavior. But we still allow you to do the extra packet classifications when the behavior is unusual, like the firewall is dropping a packet. So let's see how this changes the forwarding model. So a packet enters the switch just like before. We end up going through the slow path. We're back up in the flow cache. In the non-coalesced version of softflow, we would have installed the cache entry at this point. But when coalescing is enabled, we just delay. So we continue forwarding the packet. In this case, let's say the connection tracker indicates to us that it's allowing the packet, and this is the common case behavior for the packet. So we keep, oops, I skipped forward a little ahead. But anyway, we keep forwarding the packet. We go to the slow path, and then we eventually end up in the load balancer. Now, the load balancer is going to indicate to us that that its behavior is non-deterministic, and we have to do a packet classification after egressing the load balancer. So in this case, we will go ahead and install a flow cache entry and just continue forwarding as normal. And then future packets can take advantage of this first flow cache entry to do both the connection tracking and the load balancing stages that would have taken two packet classifications earlier. So in effect, what we're doing is we're exploiting determinism to reduce the number of packet classifications from an additional classification per middle box to an additional classification per non-deterministic middle box, right? So we're only doing classifications in the data path when we really need them, and this is essentially giving us the cross-network function flow caching that's not possible in a pure black box forwarding model. Cool. So I'm really quickly going to run through some evaluation. There's a rather extensive evaluation in the paper. The primary goal of the evaluation is to measure the performance impact of the various optimizations we've done. First, run-to-completion forwarding model, where we aren't bouncing packets between virtual machines. And then second, this classification coalescing algorithm. The evaluation is done with three packet traces. We've got a trace collected from a production SDN gateway. Trace 2 is the same as trace 1, where all the packets are truncated to 64 bytes to represent somewhat of an extreme case. And then trace 3 is a completely synthetic trace where we've got 32 long-lived connections of small packets. So this is also a fairly bad case for us. We're going to run these traces through three pipelines. So we've got a stateful firewall, like the one I showed earlier, a stateful firewall plus an AES transcoder, and then the AES transcoder encrypts the payloads of the packets flowing through it, and a stateful firewall plus a load balancer. And I highlighted the load balancer in red here because it disables classification coalescing for all packets that flow through it. Okay. So this is a bit of an eye chart. I'll give you sort of a high level of what's going on here. The dark blue line is softflow. The other two lines are equivalent middle box implementations, equivalent pipeline implementations where the middle boxes are implemented as virtual machines interconnected to OVS. So this is sort of an NFV style forwarding model. The dark gray line is using shared memory to do zero copy between the virtual machines. I'll note this disables isolation between the VMs. So if you really care about isolation, then you'd do the light blue line, which uses a traditional VNIC implementation to isolate things. So I'll note the y-axis is on log scale. So what this graph is showing you is that softflow provides somewhere between a 95 and a 278 performance improvement. This is really dependent on the pipeline and the traffic flowing through it, how many middle boxes are in the pipeline, et cetera. Second, in an attempt to isolate the effect of coalescing specifically, we have the percent improvement of the various pipelines with the various traffic running through them. Note this is percent improvement. So if the baseline's fairly good, our benefit above that will be somewhat limited, especially on our test harness where we can only shove 20 gigabits per second through it. But we show that the benefit's significant in some cases, and I would expect this benefit to scale the more middle boxes you have in your pipeline. So in summary, SoftFlow provides the ability to do middle boxes for Open vSwitch while maintaining the programmability benefits of OpenFlow. It does this by allowing you to plug in simple network functions into the data path and access them from OpenFlow. And there's a lot of content in the paper that I didn't cover, particularly about how to offload some of the classification to a NIC that has TCAMs in it to do hardware classification. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you.
Any questions? So I have a question as well. Can you give me a flavor of how hard it is to write these soft flow actions? They live in the kernel.
Yeah.
And the second part of the question is, what can go wrong with them? Like, can they crash the entire vSwitch?
Sure. So they don't live in the kernel. I didn't mention this in the talk, but we're using DPDK. So we have the same data path, slow path architecture, but it's all user space code. It depends on the action. So for a simple thing like a connection tracker, it's maybe a couple hundred lines of code, not too bad. If you want to do something like the previous talk where you're implementing memcached as a SoftFlow action, I would recommend you don't. It'd be difficult, but you know, theoretically possible.
Hi, I'm Zhi Xiong from City University of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And one question is, what is the difference between the OpenSwitch way with the other implementation, just like SoftNIC or NetVM?
Ah, yeah. I'm at Berkeley, so I work with Sangjun, who does SoftNIC. It's a pretty fundamental difference in the choice of forwarding model. So SoftNIC, NetVM, really fundamentally, they're all based on click. So you've got a graph of forwarding elements. You have a way to specify what order packets traverse through this graph. And each individual forwarding element is a complete black box. In Open vSwitch, you're modeling packet processing as a series of packet classifications. And so there's trade-offs. If your workload actually is a series of packet classifications, it's nice. You can do some nice optimizations. If it's not, you have to sort of contort to implement certain behaviors. So they're just a different way of viewing how a network should be implemented is at core. Yeah.
Okay. Another question is, I think the performance is related to the NF implementation. I mean, if you implement the NF in different library, I think the performance is different. So what about yours in your paper?
Yeah, so I think actually the dominant performance implication for all of this work is going to be the actual middle box you implement. In our paper, we evaluated apples to apples NFs. So we took the middle box code that we ran in SoftFlow, and then we ported it to running in a VM, the same code. So we tried to make it an apples to apples comparison. But like fundamentally, if you're encrypting packet payloads, none of this matters that much, right?
Okay. So, thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? So I thank the speaker.
Thank you.